Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We look ahead at a massive series coming up this weekend here in Nashville, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Aria Gerson from the Tennessee and who covers the Vanderbilt Commodores. Aria, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. A big series this weekend. So getting ready.
There is no question about that. So what do you make of the interest level in this series? We're talking, you know, it's the 1st of April today. It's college baseball in this city, and this is the hottest ticket in town with Tennessee coming in to take on Vanderbilt. What sort of an environment and an atmosphere do you expect this weekend at Hawkins Field?
Yeah, I mean, the tickets for the series, depending on which game you're looking for, we're going for somewhere between $250 and $450 on the secondary market, which is more than it would take to purchase tickets to every College World Series game combined if you bought the cheapest tickets. So there's a lot of interest, and you know that the park should be packed. This sold out long ago, but now it's even more, the stakes are even higher than it was back when it sold out. So I'm expecting a lot of people to be there. And I'm expecting, you know, the atmosphere to be pretty electric, like probably as big as it's ever been for, you know, not a postseason game.
Yeah, it should be wild out there. And you know, obviously, Tennessee is a huge surprise this year. I mean, I thought they had a lot of losses. There's a lot of, I think, young players for Tennessee who are surprising. But honestly, I wasn't sure totally with Vanderbilt. Some really good players returning, but, you know, with the pitching staff, obviously just such a huge change when you move on from two aces like that. What have you made so far of Vanderbilt's pitching? I know Carter Holton is obviously a person of very high interest and tons of talent, but overall as a pitching staff, where do you think they are?
Yeah, I think there's a ton of talent on this staff, and I think there's a lot of depth. I think there's more depth than there was last year, but you know, most of the pitchers are very young, and the ones that are a little bit more experienced have not necessarily pitched in the same roles that they've pitched in before. And so I think that has shown at times, you know, just that it's a little bit inexperienced. But I think that, you know, if given time, that the rotation and the bullpen will be really good. But, you know, early in the season as we are, I'm not sure. I mean, that's something that I'm really curious to see what happens this weekend because, you know, Tim Corbin coaches his teams to peak, you know, at the end of the season, not in April. And this staff is like quite inexperienced, so I don't know that like a lot of them have really faced something like this before, at least not in their current roles that they're in. So I think that'll be interesting, but I certainly think that the staff has the talent to match up with Tennessee or with any other team in the country, and you know the depth to do so as well.
Aria Gerson from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Aria, it's not often to that point that Vanderbilt enters into a matchup with Tennessee as the underdog, but Tennessee, the unanimous number one team across the country right now, and they've been hitting the ball really, really well. Where are some areas that you think that Vanderbilt may have the advantage in this matchup?
Yeah, so there's one area in particular is actually the running game, stolen bases. Tennessee allows a ton of stolen bases, one of the highest rates of stolen bases in the SEC. So if Vanderbilt can get its top of the order guys on base, that's like Enrique Bradfield, Davis Diaz, Spencer Jones, etc. If those guys can get on base, try to steal a couple bases, You know, that's an area that Vanderbilt can take advantage of, because Vanderbilt has been an extremely successful and efficient base stealing team this year. And then on the other side, Vanderbilt has actually been very good at throwing out runners this year. Only 65% of stolen base attempts against Vanderbilt have been successful. So if Tennessee tries to steal too much, you know, to be too over aggressive, like, Vanderbilt will possibly be able to take advantage of that. So I think that that's one area where, you know, Vanderbilt can possibly, you know, take advantage. And I also just think, you know, Vanderbilt has a really high, you know, they have some strikeout pitchers. And this weekend, you know, it's going to be kind of cold, and the first two games are at night, which that those two factors kind of combine to make Hawkins Field more of a pitcher's park when it's cold like that. And so if you're having conditions that favor pitchers, you know, the fact that Vanderbilt has such a high strikeout rate, and especially if Chris McElvain and Carter Holton, both of whom, you know, don't really walk a lot of batters, can go deep into the game. And, you know, when you're avoiding base runners, there's fewer chances for, you know, the other team to score runs. So that's probably what Vanderbilt is looking to do, because some of the bullpen pitchers, you know, allow a few more base runners.
To your point, Aria, on Vanderbilt being very successful, you know, against stealing attempts. I mean, Dominic Keegan has just been terrific all the way around this year. He's been a good player, but you're talking about a guy, so he's got 18 assists. He's got he's batting .419. Leads the team with 5 homers, 28 RBIs. How much better does he look to you? Is he kind of taking that next step to sort of Vanderbilt stardom this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. he's looked really good this year, and, you know, you can tell that he's really motivated after he, you know, he got drafted, and then he said, no, I'm coming back, and he's really motivated. He is walking as much as he's striking out. You know, he just gets the job done, really. And he's kind of like a team leader as well. And, you know, I noticed, like, there's some teams that will not pitch to him. Like, I think it was Missouri, like, intentionally walked him. They didn't want to face him. And I was like, that is the utmost sign of respect that, like, he already has, like, I think 3 or 4 intentional walks this year. So he is definitely going to be a big factor that, you know, in this lineup. And then, you know, when he does catch as well, he actually leads the SEC in runners caught stealing. So, and that's while playing half the time at catcher, because Zach Bolger plays, you know, the other half of the game. So, yes, he's been very good.
Aria Gerson from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Aria, last thing for you here. How big could this rivalry be in terms of Vanderbilt fans and baseball and Tennessee fans now kind of buying into Tony Vitello and company? How big could this rivalry be this weekend, kind of lay the foundation to be for college baseball in this city and in this state as well, in your mind?
I think it'll be huge, just because, you know, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, in whatever sport you pick, yeah, I feel like that rivalry hasn't really been that interesting for most of the time. And so I think it's always good when you have a rivalry where both the teams are good, because otherwise it's just not that interesting. And this rivalry has suddenly become really interesting. And I think that getting the fans, you know, engaged in that, and, having them both be national contenders, because let's face it, like, whoever wins this series, you know, the other team still may well, you know, make it to Omaha, because that's what happened last year. So, you know, I think it's just really good that there's going to be so much engagement in this. And I think it is good for the game. It's good for the sport, and it's good for fans of both schools, I think, to have, like, a real rivalry again.
Aria Gerson for the Tennessee, and our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, does a great job covering Vanderbilt athletics for the Tennessee. And Aria, I appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and have fun. Should be a great weekend over there at Hawkins Field.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Aria.
Absolutely. Aria Gerson, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you make of this matchup for Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and how big could this be for college baseball here in our area? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rexford here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's deal of the week is Float Horizon in East Nashville, located at 1012 Russell Street. You can get half off a 60-minute float session for $39.50. Why float? Float to recharge your mind and body, de-stress, relieve pain, better sleep, and more. For the ultimate experience, combine your float session with a therapeutic relaxing massage or full-spectrum infrared sauna. Float Horizon at 1012 Russell Street in East Nashville, or visit them online at floathorizon.com. Get this deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning. Thanks to Aria Gerson for joining us in the last segment. We'll have weekend winners coming up at 9:30. Joe's the big one this weekend here in Nashville. The hottest ticket in town, the Tennessee Vols taking on Tim Corbin and the Vandy boys over at Hawkins Field. What do you make of this matchup? Obviously, Tennessee, the unanimous number one team in the country right now. It's not often that you head into a series where, really any series, where Vanderbilt is the underdog, much less a Tennessee-Vanderbilt series where Vanderbilt is the underdog. What do you make of this matchup, and what do you make of the job that Tony Vitello has done with this group to put them in this spot this early into this season?
Well, clearly he's done a fantastic job. And of these two teams, if you would have told me going into the year, okay, he's going to be, you know, number one against, Vanderbilt ranges from number three, the number five, there's so many polls. But in all the polls, Tennessee's number one. If you told me one of these teams is going to be unanimous number one, and one of them would be all over the top 10, I certainly would have said, okay, so Vanderbilt will be the number one team. They, even with losing, you know, Leiter and Rocker, brought back more. But, I mean, Tennessee, you know, you got two of their three weekend starters are freshmen, and they are just absolutely lighting it up. Chase Burns, 5-0 with an 0.08 ERA with a nice 0.74 on the whip. And Drew Beam, the Sunday starter, he's a solid 5-0. With a 1-1-2. Then you got a sophomore, you know, and Chase Dollander. I mean, the young arms. And by the way, Blade Tidwell just came back for Tennessee.
Tidwell just came back this week.
So they got to find a spot for him somewhere in the, you know, in the bullpen, I think. I mean, maybe at some point he'll be a starter. But that's a nice luxury. And then, by the way, you have Ben Joyce, who is a redshirt junior, has had injuries. He's already thrown 12 pitches of 103 plus. In the Major League Baseball seasons of 2020 and 2021, there were a total of three such pitches. So he's over 100 all the time coming out of the bullpen.
He had one that hit 104.1, which is just, it's like Aroldis Chapman out there throwing the ball.
It's outrageous. So, and of course, they're also, I mean, their numbers are ridiculous. And yes, their non-league wasn't, I mean, they didn't play like a loaded non-league schedule. They did, they played Texas. I mean, they've played some good teams. But going to the SEC, you're still like, okay, let's see. Well, so far, looks awfully good. You go to at then number one Ole Miss and sweep them and just bomb them. Swept South Carolina, too. Good team that just took two out of three from Vanderbilt. So, it's going to be fun because they are soaring, and, of course, Vanderbilt is still loaded and very good, and I'm sure enjoying all the Tennessee attention and momentum and all this that's going on. I think Tim Corbin, we've asked him about this. Is it good to have Tennessee be this good too? I think it is for the sport. I think there's just more attention on the sport than a typical before, like, the postseason gets going. But still, I mean, it's got to be a little bit – I know it's irksome for Vanderbilt fans who are like, oh, now you guys care about baseball. Well, Tony Vitello has made it so. I mean, he has done things with his program. They've never been number one ever. They are unanimous number one. Last week they had one poll had them number one. Perfect game. And again, there's like 11 polls or something. But they are number one for the first time, and they are, if they win tonight, they also will have the program record with 17 straight wins. That's it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. And look, outside of your regional or super regional, or certainly when they get to Omaha in the College World Series, like, this is the most hype that I have seen for a weekend series involving Vanderbilt or Tennessee that I can remember in my life. Like, oh, again, taking out the regional, super regional, all that stuff in the regular season, it's by far the most attention that we've ever paid to, especially this early into the season, to a Tennessee Vanderbilt baseball game. So I don't really think you can argue that Tennessee being baseball or being good at baseball is not good for the sport. I am interested in kind of like the, like, if you're Vanderbilt and you're watching all this happen with Tony Vitello and stuff, and look, we know this, there's going to be some trash talk. Like, Tony Vitello and the Vols, they're not afraid to run the mouth a little bit. And we saw this kind of spill over a little bit last year as well. Like, that part of it's fun to me. I am interested, like, is there a little bit of a chip on the shoulder that Vanderbilt has heading into this weekend, and maybe they're out to prove something against this Tennessee team? At the end of the day, like, it's baseball. It's about execution, and you've got to, you know, you've got to hit the ball. You've got to execute your pitch as well. I mean, there's a whole lot that you has to go right. The chip on your shoulder, I don't know, means all that much, but I'm interested to see how Vanderbilt comes out and plays starting tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're very motivated for that, and max intensity on both sides. Lots of talking, I'm sure. You know, because a year ago, Tennessee was a great story, and Vanderbilt goes there, and Kumar Rocker comes in at this incredible lineup in this, let's face it, it's a very hitter-friendly park, that Lindsey Nelson Stadium, and completely just shut them down. And it was like, okay, so this is going to be a little bit of a wake-up call for the Vols. Nice story, but, you know, let's get real. You're not really an Omaha contender. I thought the next day, because Leiter started out very strong, and that's what Vanderbilt did to people last year when they were both rolling. It was just like, okay, well, here's two wins, and let's see if you can get them on Sunday. But the Vols fought back and got to him and got to the bullpen and huge hits. And it was like, wow, okay, this is the real deal. Vanderbilt won the Sunday game, which we'd both forgotten, by the way. I like, in my mind, Tennessee won the series. But that's how big that one win was, though. I mean, I think that one win still was sort of like, this actually is real. And then we see it with Tennessee getting to Omaha along with Vanderbilt. And I think we're going to have, in the years to come, I mean, the SEC is so loaded. Again, there are great programs and teams and players all through this league, but I think we're going to see multiple trips ahead for Tennessee and Vanderbilt. And again, that's where this rivalry is different to me than other sports, because there's nothing else you can point to where it's like, here's two national championship contenders from Vanderbilt and Tennessee who are playing each other. You haven't been able to do that since way back in the day when Vanderbilt women's basketball was close to that level and competing with Pat Summitt's Tennessee teams.
Greg in Hendersonville texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Why aren't they playing this series at First Horizon Park? I bet it would sell out. Hawkins Field is too small. It's coming from Greg from Hendersonville.
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of that. And I mean, I get the frustration for people who can't get tickets or don't want to pay what the tickets are going for, which is pretty wild. And by the way, you know, I think one reason the Sunday ticket is so much higher is, you know, tonight's on ESPN2, tomorrow's on SEC Network. There's no over-the-air broadcast for Sunday's game. If I'm Vanderbilt, I want it in my park, you know? I mean, it's a huge series, and I think you give up a little bit of your advantage if you don't have it in your park. And look, I think you may be right. And if you sold out First Horizon Park, well, then how could you argue with that? But I feel like the setting is what it should be. It should be in these teams' home stadiums. It's just like the neutral site hoops game versus the playing in the home courts. Always play in the home courts.
I'm interested to see, and Aria kind of discussed this too, like, who's going to end up being the Sunday starter for Vanderbilt? They've tried Patrick Riley, and they've trotted him out there, and he's probably the one with the most upside at this point. But like, Tennessee at this point, they seem to have their weekend rotation down for the most part. And then we'll see where Tidwell fits into that. Like, who's going to be that Sunday starter for Vanderbilt as they move forward here? That's going to be interesting to find out. It's kind of the same discussion we had last year with them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's no shortage of possibilities, for sure. Yeah, right now that's TBD on Sunday. And yeah, I mean, Riley, I mean, you're talking about a guy with a 109 right now. Let's see, he's walked 12 in 24 innings, 19 hits, 218 average against. I mean, he's
good.
Where's the strikeout number? Why can I? No, I can't read a line through. Not only can I not use technology, I'm looking at this line through it. I swear I do not see strikeouts. All right, stop the show.
They don't believe
it. No, there they are, 41. Anymore. S.O. Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
41 strikeouts in 24 innings, as I was saying. So, anyway, yeah, he's talented. I mean, they've got arms galore, you know. They got arms galore, and you look at, like, even, again, it's early. So the SEC is going to maybe even some of this out, but like Tennessee number one in average, Vanderbilt number two. Tennessee number one in whip, Vanderbilt number two. Tennessee's like number one in the SEC in like everything, you know, including stolen bases, by the way. Vanderbilt third, but they, you know, NCAA rank Vanderbilt is very high in a lot of these categories too, but Tennessee's numbers are just, I mean, they're just off the charts. 66 home runs right now, ridiculous, in 25 games.
Going to be a lot of fun. Going to see who comes away with this series winner this weekend, and we'll get to that coming up next in Weekend Winners as well. The Final Four is set both in the men's game and the women's game as well, and the Preds in action tonight taking on the Buffalo Sabres. We'll get to all of it in Weekend Winners. That's next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of things to get to this weekend. What a busy weekend in the world of sports. Vanderbilt, Tennessee baseball, Preds in action tonight, and Final Fours, both on the men's and women's side of things as well. Before we get to those picks, Joe Rexroad, give us a very quick standings update here in the competition.
Last week was a little bit better week for Michelle and me. We both went 4-2, both got our locks, both got 5 points. Robbie, 3-3, 3 points. The Preds failed you. Given a goal and a half against the Flyers. So I have retaken the lead by a single point. 24-12, 5-1 locks, 29 points. Robbie, you're 23-13, also 5-1. That's your first lock you've missed, 28 points. Michelle, up to 500, 18-18. Got your first lock, so you're 1-5 in your locks, 19 points.
This is just
points.
The start of it, guys. I'm about to start rolling.
Here we go.
There's a long way to go in this competition. Long way to go. In this competition. All right, let's get rolling. We'll start in the women's Final Four. Louisville taking on South Carolina. South Carolina favored by 7.5 in this game. Joe, we'll start with you. South Carolina by 7.5.
This is a really tough one because I really do, like Michelle called the shot, so I think I know what Michelle's pick will be. I really like Louisville's team, and I think they're going to make it Louisville. Louisville's team. I think they're going to make it a game. So I'm actually going to go. I'm going to take those points and bank on this being a game that goes down to the wire.
I'm going South Carolina. I think they're really, really good. I think South Carolina wins by 9. So I will go South Carolina by 9 in this matchup. Michelle, South Carolina and Louisville. South Carolina favored by 7.5 in this game.
Give me Louisville on this one, even though L's down always. Give me Louisville. I think their team's scrappy. I also think if they can get Aaliyah Boston in some foul trouble, that South Carolina's guards haven't been able to perform as well. I think Louisville's going to take this one home, make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Wow.
A lock.
Michelle's strategy of picking like Tennessee and Louisville as of late has got me worried about her a little bit. What's going on here?
She's deserting BBN.
I will say, though, I do love Louisville's women's basketball team. So if that makes me a traitor, whatever.
Wow. Well, I mean, when your team went out in the first round, you got to go to somewhere, right?
Ha, ha, ha. Hokies didn't even make it, right?
I don't care about Hokies basketball. I'm a Hokies football fan.
Okay.
That's right. I'm convenient. I'm a fan of convenience.
Yes. UConn and Stanford in the second women's game. Stanford favored by 1.5 in this matchup. I'll start on this. Give me UConn. I'm pretty sure that Geno has like sold his soul to the devil. So UConn will win this game. Paige Beckers is really, really good. So I'll go UConn plus 1.5. Michelle, UConn and Stanford. Stanford favored by 1.5.
I'm actually going to go Stanford for this one. I think the loss of Dorka for UConn is just going to hurt them in the post. I do think Paige Beckerts, though, is probably still going to have an incredible game, but I do think Stanford gets this one done and back-to-back goes to national championship game.
There you go. Joe Rexroad, UConn, and Stanford. Stanford favored by a point and a half.
Yeah, I'll break the tie with UConn. Paige Beckers in her hometown. Probably go for about 33. I think it's a great game, but I fear that the Huskies are back in the title game, folks.
Oh, boy. Could be a dangerous day if that takes place. The Preds and the Buffalo Sabres in action tonight. Preds on the road. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. Pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. They are favored by a goal and a half against the Buffalo Sabres. Michelle, Preds, Sabres, Preds by 1.5. Who you got in this matchup?
Give me the Preds for this one. 2 wins under their belt. Get another win up in Buffalo. Nice push to the playoffs. Also, I think this Buffalo team is too young. And like you said, hopefully Phil Forsberg has a hat trick, right? Wasn't that your called shot?
That was Rex Road.
Oh, it was Rex Road shot. Okay, but give me the Preds.
All right, Preds minus 1.5, taking on the Sabres. Joe Rex Road, your selection for tonight's Preds game.
Preds lock. Although they stymied you in the same situation last week against a bad team, I think an empty netter, which will be Forsberg's third, by the way, makes this a 2-goal margin.
I'll go Preds tonight. I don't think they've played very well, really, for like the last week and a half. I think they do tonight. I think they'll play well. I think they'll control the game. I think Saros will play well in net. So give me the Preds minus the 1.5. Switching over to the men's Final Four. Villanova taking on Kansas. Kansas favored by 4.5 in this matchup. We begin with Joe Rexroad, your favorite game of the weekend. Villanova and Kansas, who do you have in this matchup?
Look, you have to really respect what Jay Wright and Villanova do on a game-by-game and a year-by-year basis, and especially in this tournament. But I think they're too banged up and shorthanded. Justin Moore is such a huge loss. I think Kansas will pull away here and easily cover the 4.5.
I'm going Nova. Nova plus 4.5. I think Nova's going to win outright. Jay Wright, he just knows how to coach in these situations. I think Nova wins the game outright. Michelle, Kansas, Villanova, Kansas favored by 4.5.
Robbie, same thought process. I trust Jay Wright more than Bill Self in March. Nova's only really been playing with 6 guys all year, I think. Down one. I think Nova's going to pull this one out. Give me Nova Nation.
In the most anticipated game in the world of sports this weekend, Duke, the Duke Blue Devils, taking on North Carolina in the Final Four. Duke is favored by 4 in this matchup. I'll start us out on this one. Give me North Carolina and make it my lock. I think Duke's going to win, but I think this is going to be a really good game, and I think Duke wins by like 1. So give me North Carolina and make it my lock. Plus, I can't pick Duke to cover the spread. It would make me feel real icky inside, so I'm not going to do it.
Me too, Rob.
North Carolina locking down. Michelle, Duke and North Carolina, Duke favored by 4.
I agree with you on this one as well. Give me North Carolina plus the 4. I think Duke ultimately wins, but I don't think by more than 3 points. But I hope North Carolina wins, but give me North Carolina for the points.
Joe Rexroad, Duke and North Carolina, Duke favored by 4.
So we're basically all on the exact same page. And maybe it's just me. It's like if we're going to have this, we're going to have this last game and all this hype all week and all this talk, then the game better darn well live up to it. So I'm counting on the game living up to it. And I think Duke hits a last-second shot. And Coach K is carried off in tears, and then he loses Monday to
Rips
Kansas.
Rips his shirt off.
Maybe that. Maybe pulls a muscle man. Pulls Eric a muscle
Church cancels man. The rest of his tour. Yeah.
Ryan Porth cries.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I think Duke in a very close game, so I will take UNC and the points.
All right, finally, the big series this weekend coming up between Tennessee and Vanderbilt over at Hawkins Field. We're not going to go each game. We're just going to go series as a whole. That's a beautiful thing about college baseball. Somebody's got to win the series. Michelle, we begin with you. Who wins the series this weekend between Tennessee and Vanderbilt?
Balls. Give me Tennessee. Wow. I think they're going to win this series. I think they look really great really early. I think Vanderbilt still needs a couple more games under their belt. I think they'll look like a different team later in the season, but I think Tennessee takes this one home to Knoxville.
So Tennessee wins the series, according to Michelle. Joe Rexroad, Vols and Vandy, who wins the series this weekend?
Yeah, this is really tough. Tennessee is definitely better right now. I mean, they're just. I mean, they look like the number one team, like the clear number one team, which is what they are. I also just feel like you have ups and downs in a baseball season, and things have gone so well for Tennessee. And I think Aria Gerson made a great point earlier about the weather and the way that may help the pitching. I think Vanderbilt needs this to be. They don't need like 10-8 games. They need 4-3 games. I think Vanderbilt's going to get 2 out of 3. They're not playing as well, but I think this is going to be them at absolute full intensity and desire. I think it's going to be a great series, and I think they'll get it done Sunday, which will probably be a wilder game than the first two.
I predicted each game in this series will be a one-run game. It probably won't happen, but that's my prediction, and I'm standing to it. I'm going Vandy. I think Vandy wins 2 out of 3 this weekend. I think Vandy wins today. I think Tennessee wins tomorrow. Vandy wins Sunday. Basically a repeat of last year. Probably not, the same amount of trash talking, but a repeat of last year. Vandy wins the series 2 out of 3. So we'll see what happens on that front. And if Tennessee pulls off a sweep again and they sweep Ole Miss and then sweep Vandy this weekend, what's that going to be like? Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they're like number plus one. Number 111.
Would Knoxville become a baseball school now?
Maybe.
Or would Tennessee? I just said Knoxville.
The University of Knoxville?
The University of Knoxville. Yep.
Everybody's going to forget about the football program if they get a sweep this week. Like, forget you, football.
Yeah.
It's all about Vitello.
People out there hanging out with John Robinson. Nobody cares. Talking about Tony Vitello now.
Tony Vitello, president of the university, if they win this week.
I don't think it. I don't think it's a stretch to say that Tony Vitello right now is by far the most popular coach at Tennessee. And he's the baseball coach.
Who's number two? I agree. He's clearly number one. Who's number two?
It's Kelly Harper.
She's liked. Maybe. I don't think she's number two. I mean, is Heupel number two?
Well, see.
Like, I want to say Barnes, but, like, there's so strong opinions on Barnes either way.
Yeah, I don't think it's Barnes. It's like everyone loves Barnes, but also dreads Barnes and March. See, Heupel, I think the Heupel thing is like there's so much hope that this continues, but you got to be a little bit. You got to hold back. You got to pump the brakes a little bit, right? You think it's Heupel?
I think Heupel's number two. He just signed a 5-star quarterback. I think it's Heupel.
That's true.
Corner don't split the zone and get to the sticks, okay, which is the first down marker in case you don't know.
That's the height. That's what he's trying to reach for right there.
That's what he's
trying to be
for
that
right
guy.
There. Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate it. This has been Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss, showing their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
I got some big breaking news.
Do you?
Wisconsin basketball. Wisconsin guard Brad Davison has been granted a 6-year of eligibility and will return to Wisconsin for the 2022-23 season. If anyone watches college basketball, you know this is a lie. This is his 19th season in college basketball. Like, the dude is like 34 and he's still playing college.
Is it April
Fool's? It's incredible. You know what? That's a fair question. But it's the official Wisconsin account.
I'm going to doubt it.
Yeah, I think it's real. And, I mean, all due respect to Brad Davison, who's an incredible flopper. I mean, one of the greatest floppers of all time in college basketball. I don't think it's like the NBA is not banging down his door, okay? But I can't believe that it's only a 6-year.
The links you will go to get college basketball discussion is amazing.
It can't.
Brad Davison.
Dude, that's his – For people who hate watch college basketball, he is one of the most hate watched players in college basketball history. I promise you this.
I hate Wisconsin.
Oh, see, there we go. Wow. See, we're tapping into some. Maybe you could.
Why do you hate Wisconsin?
Why do you think they ruined?
I don't know.
Kentucky's undefeated season.
Oh.
On my college visit.
Good old Frank Kaminsky can't stop Big Frank.
Badgers.
Get a better coach.
Also on the hoops front, I hope Matt Gentry is wrong about this. He says, I love Rexro taking Villanova in the bet promo for FanDuel and then picks Kansas on the Friday picks, playing both sides.
Joe, he's right.
What? I actually said Villanova? Oh, my God.
I think you have two and you pick on each side.
That was a total misspeak on my part. But you know what?
I've been Villanova all week, baby.
You know what I say all on week. Those FanDuel commercials? I say every time. My bracket's trash, as I start crying because my bracket is trash. My bracket is trash. Take everything I say with a grain of salt. So this is even more reason to just ignore everything I say on the gambling front. Gosh, that's so bad.
So you're calling Kansas and Duke in the title game. I mean, either way, like regardless of who wins this weekend, it's going to be a pretty interesting title game either way, just based on the programs that are still involved. But your ideal, if you could hand select, regardless of who you think will win, your ideal Final Four, your ideal championship game matchup would be what?
Well, it'd be Carolina, because I think that just because Saturday, if Carolina beats K again, I mean, that's just brilliantly hilarious. I'm not a huge fan either side or whatever, but yeah, it would be amazing. I mean, let's face it, that would be so Carolina and.
Nova.
Honestly, I'm going to go Kansas because I respect Villanova a ton and they're good, but I don't think they're this good. And also, I just don't. I'm sorry, but I'm going to prefer a team like Kansas that actually tries to run a little bit and doesn't play at the pace Villanova plays at. I respect them. But yeah, I'm going to say that my ideal title game is Carolina, Kansas, and an absolute up and down barn burner.
So if Villanova gets this done and Jay Wright wins his third title since 2016, what does this tell you about, number one, him as a coach, but number two, pretty obvious at that point, Villanova, the new gold standard in college basketball. Are they the blue blood at that point if they get it done for the third time?
No, that's you can't – I mean, you have to earn that over, like, so much time and there's so many other factors in it. Like, UConn won multiple titles too and they were never a blue blood. But it would say that they're the best program and that he's the best coach. Without question. And that may be the case already, but by the fact that they got here. If they win two more games, there's no debate that the best program, best coach, college basketball, Jay Wright, Villanova.
Who is apparently 60-some-odd years old and looks like he's 40.
Yes.
45.
Yeah, so, yes. More selling of souls possibly there. Who did you say earlier sold their soul?
Who did I say? Oh, Gino.
Yeah, so another, yeah. Speaking of which... Honestly, I would love to see Louisville win tonight. It would be great. But UConn South Carolina title game is very appealing to me.
Yeah.
But only if UConn loses. It's not appealing.
Like if UConn, it's not appealing if Geno wins. It's right. Really not.
It's appealing just for Dawn Staley to beat Geno again.
Staley's last loss, Kentucky.
That's right. That's right. Kentucky... didn't help themselves at all with that, but they helped South Carolina get on a run.
Yes. Congratulations to Kentucky for launching South Carolina to a national title run.
Thanks.
So there's going to be some streaming in the Vanderbilt Hawkins Field press box tonight by yours truly. We have the Final Four games on, little Vanderbilt, Tennessee, in the field below.
I like it. Some good stuff. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook giving new customers $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right. You'll get $150 in bonus site credit, and all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket's up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. I've said it. I like Duke to win. I like Villanova to win as well, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you join FanDuel today with promo code Rob, and you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Joe Rexroad, that's going to do it for us this weekend. Have yourself a wonderful time at Tennessee and Vanderbilt and all the sports watching this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
So I just unmuted myself again.
Oh, my God.
He sounds like Darth
So
Vader.
I unmuted the wrong thing and then muted the wrong thing. That is a great way to end the week.
So Rex Road on top of his game once again. Michelle, have a great weekend. Good luck with your car situation.
Hopefully we'll be in a better situation on Monday, guys.
Hopefully so. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday. Darren Donica chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.